This is the Jamal Show.
Down in
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
This is the Jamal Show.
Hola, amigos. Hola. Hello to all of y'all who can hear my voice. I'm very happy to see you all made it through this evening, or last evening, and that you were blessed enough to wake up this morning. You know, I always like to start with an affirmation of life. In fact, I'd like to be the one to always remind you of what a gift life truly is, even in the most difficult of times that we all experience. That's what this show is all about, first and foremost. And unfortunately, I speak from experience. Most recently, I've experienced a little bit of burnout. And it wouldn't be my first time for any number of reasons. Somebody asked me what it means to burn out. And I can only describe it as a time in your life when everything seems to be moving too fast and you're getting a little tired of keeping up. It tends to happen to people who overload themselves with stressful work or life projects or relationships. Now, that's my definition. But if you do a search online, you will come across much better definitions of burnout. And you will also find some symptoms. And they make sense, even though some of them may not apply to you. WebMD, a very credible website on the topic of medicine, says that burnout is a form of exhaustion caused by constantly feeling swamped. It's a result of excessive and prolonged emotional, physical, and mental stress. In many cases, burnout is related to one's job. Burnout happens when you're overwhelmed, emotionally drained, and unable to keep up with life's incessant demands. Now, that definition from WebMD sounds appropriate. And by the way, burnout can happen to anybody, with a job or without a job. I guess you do have to be alive, but you don't have to be the CEO of JP Morgan to experience burnout. You also don't have to be married with four children. The situations that create burnout are going to be different for everybody. And it also depends on one's tolerance for prolonged stress. As for myself, I don't react well to prolonged stress. Not many people do outside of President Obama. But here are some symptoms to let you know when you may be suffering from burnout. When you have a sense of failure or of self-doubt, when you are feeling helpless, trapped, or defeated, when you feel detachment or you're feeling alone in the world, when you have a loss of motivation, or when you have a decreased satisfaction or a sense of accomplishment. If you have these symptoms and they aren't normal for you, you may be suffering from burnout. And what's the answer? What can you do when you feel burned out?
Listen to the Jamal Show.
That's one, or it might burn you out more. As for me, what I do is nothing. That is, I remind myself that sometimes it's okay to do nothing. Because when you have a life like mine, running around with a startup law firm and all types of personal relationships and clients and consulting work, basically when I have a lot of things going on, I get to a point sometimes where I feel guilty not working. It's like I feel I should always be working. And I don't like feeling that way. I don't like feeling that way because I feel strongly that we as citizens should not just be worker bees. We are more than just workers. But to be more than just a worker, you have to do other things than just work, whether it be at a job or at a relationship. And just as I feel like I'm more than just a worker, I feel that you too are more than just a worker. So it's okay to do nothing, my friends, at least sometimes. It's okay to take time to just be human. Being a human is enough sometimes, is what I tell myself. Sometimes doing nothing is doing something. Other people explain this particular solution to burnout another way. They call it the power of saying no. And it goes something like this. You don't have to say yes to everything people request of you. In fact, you should sometimes say no. Because every time you say no, you say yes to something else. Something else that could be way more important. And maybe more important activity, that more important activity is actually doing nothing. Because again, sometimes doing nothing is the best thing you can do for yourself. I know that sounded like a circular argument, but rewind the tape and you may get it. Now, I can't talk about suffering from burnout without mentioning our brothers and sisters down in Maui, Hawaii. The good people of Hawaii have literally been burned out of their neighborhoods.
A true burnout
in the past few days as a result of climate change, I presume. We have the perfect storm of dry lands, wildfires, and high winds, and the result have been catastrophic for our brothers and sisters in Maui.
Imagine fire moving faster than you could run.
Here's the story.
Our NBC News correspondent Dana Griffin has the latest on the ground in Maui.
Chuck, we are at one of the largest evacuation centers here in Maui, where some 300 to 400 people spent the night here. Several people have also slept in the distance in the parking lot, inside their cars. We're seeing a lot more people show up today to get food, water, and clothing. I can tell you, one of the more remarkable things about all of this, I've literally talked to people who have walked out of here who say their homes are gone, but they still have a smile on their face, and they are talking about gratitude, grateful that they are alive, grateful that they still have loved ones. As you know, at least 36 people have been confirmed dead, and that number is likely to grow.
Now, that sounds just horrible, like an apocalypse. And to think, I get a little depressed for like 3 days every time I lose my wallet. Mac was around last time I lost my wallet.
Yeah.
And I was depressed.
He hasn't got any better than that.
Some of these people have lost everything and they still find a way to move forward with gratitude. What an inspiration. Anyway, I need to start the show because we have a mayoral candidate coming in. Well, she's here already.
She's here.
So I want to get to Giselle ASAP. Welcome to Saturday, my friends, the very next day of your life. This is the Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent, live and on your favorite podcasting network. My name is Jamal. I'm an attorney and an information junkie from Harlem, and I'm passing the fruits of my illness on to you. For this type of information, all vaccines will be rendered ineffective. As for me, I'm your listener, God, mostly along for the ride, coming through the Hartford studios of WKND, and I'm doing that live, not for just a season, but for a reason. Got to say hello to the Archbishop from Mac Urban Talk Radio. Make sure you look for Mac Urban Talk Radio on the internet where it lives. You were going to say something, Mac?
One or the other.
I figured you were going
to... John over here.
That's right. We're going to do that. That's for Mac. Anyway, nice short little thing. In addition, and just because all the bars are closed right now, I present to you Dr. Alfonso Mack.
All right.
How are you? How you doing? Everything's all right?
I'm great. Like I said, I got my man over
here. And again, we are blessed with Attorney Emeritus John Rose Jr., a good friend of the broadcast. How are you, Attorney Rose? Thanks for coming in.
I'm good. Good to be here.
In addition, we have a very special guest with us today. She is currently in the race for mayor of Hartford. We have Ms. Giselle Jacobs with us today. Ms. Jacobs, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourself to the audience.
Thank you very much, Jamal. Sorry. Yes, Giselle G.G. Jacobs, candidate for mayor. I say I'm not running for mayor. I'm on assignment from God. And it's definitely an honor and a privilege to be here this morning with you all.
Now, we have saved a nice amount of time for you in a second segment after the break so we can dig in. But moving on, it's been like 2 weeks since we've last broadcast. The last time you heard my voice, the theme was balance. And I think it was one of our very best broadcasts, so definitely check that out. That podcast is up. It was good. You should listen to it. Today the theme is burnout, and I must say that after the summer of 23, I feel like an expert on the topic. And onward we go, but how will I accomplish this? Well, like I always do it, by scheming and planning on how to get you all more intelligent. And it isn't easy with Republicans coming after black history in schools. Kind of makes you feel like America takes two steps forward only to take one step back. By the way, this broadcast will soon be up on every podcast network, so please share the gift of the Jamal Show with a loved one, and I promise you more intelligence instead of more labor on this upcoming Labor Day. Lastly, I know he's waiting for the lastly part.
Yes,
please.
Yes.
Please know that my views do not represent the views of this station, mostly because the owner thinks my name is Hunter Biden. And I'm going to leave that right there. Now, remember, my friends, you can call and join this verbal protest at any time. For your information, the station number is...
And that number is...
860-218-2173, 860-218-2173. You may want to call in to talk to your next possible mayor. Many people have called. At least some of them have survived. So don't worry too much. By the way, you can also call that number if you need an attorney who doesn't suck. That would be me, not Attorney Rose. I think he's retired.
Are you retired, John?
I guess.
Yeah. I hope you're retired because I need some business. The email address to the show is jamalshowradio@gmail.com. I know you want a break, and I'll impose one upon you right now with some great independent music from Mex Cortez. The tune is called Rahema, and I love this song. When we come back, we'll be talking with Ms. Jacobs about herself and her plans for the city of Hartford. How's that sound? Does that sound good?
Sounds wonderful.
All right, great.
Do this.
Let's do it.
Fine girl, when you come around, you problematic like always. Buki shuka kati, you don't flake, can't find an alternative for your ways. No one can do it like you, they recognize you from far away. Una socialize, now what to wate, you on overdrive cause you costly. I am falling for you, heavy girl, I'm talking to you, let me be the one to take you cruising on this wave, I'm all in, baby. Rehema, Rehema, can you please complete my summer? Move it back and forth like karma. Mazima na kufa na zama. Rehema, Rehema, can you please complete my summer? Move it back and forth like karma. Mazima na kufa na zama.
Everybody begging like auntie, please. You don't give a damn cause you want TV. Direct mail, girl, I don't CC. See me and you, we can run TZ. Can you be my Cleo? You know I'm a Leo. Usinune, baby, twende zetu ununio. Chillin' huku tukie sabo mafanikio. Baby, say ndio.
You know it is real, I'm calling you Rehema. Minasaka ugali wa Rehema. I got a new Rari for Rehema. Yeah, girl, your whole body na tetema, yeah. I am falling for you, heavy girl. I'm talking to you, let me be the one to take you cruising on this wave. I'm all in, baby.
Rehema, Rehema, can you please complete my summer? Move it back and forth like karma. Mazima na kufa na zama. Rehema, Rehema, can you please complete my summer? Move it back and forth like karma. Mazima na kufa na zama.
Hello again, my friends. That song was called Rehema by Mex Cortez. Check him out. Remember, you heard him first on the Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 860-218-2173. Moving on, it's most definitely a pleasure to have you back with us on the Jamal Show, on WKND and on podcast. Today, again, we have a very special guest in the person of Hartford mayoral candidate, Giselle Gigi Jacobs. Jacobs, you'd rather be called Gigi, right?
Yes.
Okay. Gigi Jacobs, thanks for being with us. Now, just to start off, you grew up in Hartford.
Yes.
And I learned very quick while doing a little research on your candidacy that everybody who grew up in Hartford pretty much knows you. You're quite popular on the streets. That's, yes, in fact, how we got in contact with you. And I just want to start about, I hear you have a nonprofit, and, yes, that's very interesting to me. Please tell me about your nonprofit, what's it about, and why you started it.
Well, I started it in 2008, as a matter of fact. I was recently relocating back from Boston, Mass. I had lived there for 2 short years. And while I was in Boston, I had an opportunity to work on Deval Patrick's campaign.
Oh, great.
Running for governor, and we made history.
Well,
when
you
we
did.
Got the first black man elected as governor for the Commonwealth of Mass. You know, and what I found as a result of working on that campaign and you know, developing a relationship with him and his wife, Diane, that was very inspirational for me was that politicians don't always lie.
Right, that's
what I learned.
Did you hear that?
Yes. Politicians don't.
I
had to take a breath on that.
They don't.
Don't always. He did exactly what he was said he was going to do on the campaign trail. And I was his number one cheerleader. I can remember emailing his wife shortly after the campaign because the senior woman who suggested that I work on his campaign was, you know, a stranger. I didn't know her. She was on the bus, and I let her know I was recently relocating to Boston as a veteran and didn't have any family, was still looking for a place to live. And she suggested that, and work, and she suggested I go over to Grove Hall, help out on a Deval Patrick campaign. You're going to have an opportunity to use their computers to look for work. They're going to feed you while you volunteer, and you'll have an opportunity to meet some individuals. And that's exactly what happened. My life took off after that.
Amen.
It took off. So anyone out there volunteering?
And your non-for-profit?
My non-for-profit started as a result of my turning home, being disheartened as I saw what was happening in our community. And, you know, as far as children being out late at night. You know,
What's it called?
My nonprofit is Children of Color Organization, for children and families impacted by incarceration, children in the community who have a parent incarcerated. There's a myth, it's a myth now because we've come to learn that children of incarcerated parents do not necessarily follow in their parents' footsteps.
You know, it's funny. I'm coming from New York. I do realize Connecticut's a very liberal state, but it does have very harsh penalties for crimes here. Mm-hmm. And they're not much in the second chance. They do get second chance with commutations, but when you get sentenced here, you get sentenced heavy. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of. I had a 15-year-old kid. He's not 15 anymore. Who? It's a big case. people might have heard of it here. We got 75 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They don't have any problem like sentencing hard like that. So the kids that are out here, especially in Hartford, where there's a lot of over-sentencing going on,
yes.
You know, I would think that there's a lot of need for that. And yes. you've been in operation how long?
Well, since 2008, we want to dispel that myth, though. Our children who have parents incarcerated are doing amazing things with their lives.
Oh, okay.
They're going to college. They're, you know, starting their own businesses. You know, I have a son at home. You know, Isaiah, he's 30 now, but he's never been suspended from school. He graduated Weber High Honors, went on to UConn, has a couple of degrees from UConn, you know, a master's.
So you want to dispel the myth that...
We want to dispel the myth that young people follow in their parents' footsteps. I attended a conference at Yale University where they had scholars from all over the country who were, sharing with the students at Yale that they could go out into their community and just by knowing who the child's parent is, know who's going to end up incarcerated. That's, like, not true. Yes, our children do need to be able to read at grade level by the third grade because there's research that states if they're not reading on grade level by third grade, they're already building jail cells for them, you know, and all of that. But, no, we need to do more to dispel
I'm glad I brought that up first because you seem very passionate about it. I will say that there's another law that I hate here where they make you pay for your incarceration. I mean, I don't know if you've heard of that, but they actually come after you for funds. I mean, as if it's not hard enough to get back on your feet with a felony. Now, speaking of Hartford remains one of the poorest of Connecticut's, the poorest of Connecticut's four largest cities. It has a limited tax base, intergenerational poverty that I know you're quite aware of, including one of the lowest home ownership rates in the whole United States. Mm-hmm. It also has high voter disengagement. Hartford has a lot of problems. I'm sure you know of them better than I do. How do you combat these problems to bring back prosperity? Is that even possible?
Let's say issues, not problems.
Oh, issues. You're right. Challenges to be overcome.
Yeah, well...
it's a lot.
It's a lot. You know, and that's one of the reasons why the community members who reached out to me and asked that I run for... It wasn't something I planned on doing.
Right.
You know, I recently became a licensed real estate agent as a result of hoping to inspire others in our community to become a homeowner if they choose to, that it's a path to generational wealth as a result, you know.
Right,
and, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. But if you desire to, don't allow fear or the fact that you've gone 3-4 generations in the Hartford Housing Authority to, you know, steer you away from possibly becoming a homeowner yourself, you know. And yes, folks, listen. No one wants to have anything to do with politicians and lawyers.
Right.
You know, that's, right. You know.
No one trusts them. No one trusts them.
Right. The trust is just not there.
Lawyers and politicians.
Lawyers and politicians.
That's correct.
Yeah. So I make it really clear when out on a campaign trail that I'm the least of either.
And I have a friend that actually saw you on a campaign trail. You hit the streets quite a bit.
Yes.
These are the streets you know.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And these are the people you know. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Is this your first time running?
No, it's not. The first time I ran was when Luke Bronin came to town from God knows where. Well, we know he's from Greenwich, and all of that. And I, you know, after running around town and speaking with our stakeholders, community leaders, I could not understand why someone else from our community would not have stepped up to the challenge, as opposed to allowing this individual who's not from Hartford, who has no ties to Hartford, who we know Hart was not going to be invested in the people, the children and families of Hartford. It may appear that way, a lot of smoke screens, you know, running around hitting our, you know, living rooms and barbecues and all of that, but behind the scenes, it's like our lives have not really got, it's getting a lot worse. Homicides are going up. Homelessness is growing, you know.
One thing I noticed when I got here was that you have all these insurance companies here, but they don't necessarily hire the people in the city of Hartford, it seems.
That wasn't always the case, Jamal.
That was not always the case.
When I went into the military, and I would share with other soldiers that I was from Hartford, Connecticut, oh, my God, you must be rich. You're from the insurance capital of the world.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, while in high school, we were able to do internships at Pratt & Whitney, you know, Aetna Insurance. They had relationships where they would allow us to, as a result, check it out. When I graduated from my advanced individual training, you go to basic training, then you go to advanced individual training. I have a class of 42, Jamal. I was the top in the class. I was the only distinguished honor graduate
out of a class of 42 as a result of what I received at the Hartford Public School System. And as a result of those internships that I did while in high school, I got no no-goes. That's what you know, like a wrong answer is.
Right.
I got not one all through training. Mm. And as a result of what I received here at the Hartford Public School System, now we have more money going outside of our Hartford Public School System because the money follows the child.
The money follows the child now?
Is that, do you understand it to be different?
I don't know. You're saying that if I was, if I had a child and I wanted to send them to a magnet school, then that a certain portion of those dollars would go with him and come
absolutely
outside of the school board's budget?
That's my understanding, absolutely.
So
that is the way it works.
Okay.
So I would say you weren't a big fan of Luke Cronin, the previous mayor.
No,
I guess
not at all. Because we trust him as a community. We did not trust Luke Cronin. You know.
Well, I see why. Because I lived in Hartford all this time, and I haven't seen anybody in the streets besides you. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never met Luke Cronin. I've never seen him like.
He
come
doesn't
through.
Have to come out. He doesn't need our vote anymore. He's not running anymore. Of course, you haven't seen him.
So there are seven candidates who are running for mayor in Hartford in total. I'm not going to name anyone but you because you're the first one to come. I'm assuming some of them have more money than you do. Correct me if I'm wrong. What do you think makes you stand out for them? Is there anything? Are you the only one from here that was born here? I'm not sure about that.
She's the only one.
She's a black woman.
There you go. That stands out.
That stands out all over as far as I'm concerned.
Stands all over me.
Yeah. My heart is genuinely into the people of Hartford, the people who need and want to be invested in, the children and families of Hartford. I stand out as not just, you know, I'm not the only one who was born and raised in Hartford. You know, okay. I may be the only one who's unbought and unbossed in Hartford.
Only when I stand at gas stations.
Yeah.
Only when I stand at gas stations, all right.
At 10 and 11 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
And I'm able to without fear of anything happening to me because the community knows exactly
who you are,
who I am, and why I'm there.
Are they going to vote? Isn't that
the thing?
Are they going to come out and vote?
That's our challenge. You know, Luke got in office on 7,000 votes. That's an atrocity. We have 60, at the time there were 66,000 registered voters mm-hmm. in the city of Hartford. 7,000 votes, we have to come out and vote. And that's my challenge, why I'm out there from sun up to sundown, knocking on doors. We've registered so many individuals in our community. Felons who don't know the laws have changed. They can vote now. If you are a felon, you can vote as long as you're not on parole. And we need to get that message out.
By the way, that's supposed to be an indisputable right, right? We have an attorney here, but that's supposed to be the right that they can't
it's
take away.
The law, for whatever that's worth.
Which is what they're fighting in Florida right now. The reason why I brought up the economic stuff earlier is because one thing you haven't mentioned is that you started a business, right?
I started it as a result of parents returning home from incarceration
You do cleaning work or
yes,
stuff?
Yes, Sister Soldier Environmental Services started out as a licensed lead inspector. You know, I went through the North Star Center of Human Development training, and it started as a licensed lead inspector. And I need to tell you, which I'm very, very, very proud of, Jamal, while in class, I had a practicing attorney in class with me.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, in my graduating class.
You actually have more to be proud of because I spoke to somebody that you actually inspired.
Yes.
To start their own business.
Oh, absolutely.
In the same industry.
And
I'm not going to name names, but I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about.
Several individuals.
But he's doing very well.
Their own business. Yes.
And he's went from 19 to 9. He's got contracts all over the place. And he mentioned you as one of the people that inspired him.
Wow.
And I think to start a business in a city like this with very little financing, you know, it's very hard for black people to get financing at banks.
Correct.
It's a big thing.
Yes.
And I just think on your campaign trail, you should talk about that more.
Okay.
Because you hire people.
Yes.
Right? Remember the days of Occupy Wall Street?
Yeah.
They used to have these people called the paycheck signers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so you should always tout that because that'll give you a lot of foundation as far as the economy is concerned, because that's a big thing.
Gee, I live in the West End.
Yes. Right.
Everybody in the West End votes.
Yes.
I don't know if you've been there.
I have, but I need to go more.
Come see me, because I know a lot of people.
Okay.
I was the city's lawyer for 6 years when Eddie Perez was the mayor,
yes.
The last good mayor the city's had. Mm. This is a city that was at one point literally run by the insurance companies, and they had clown mayors, if you go way back in the day in Hartford.
Yeah.
They had make-believe mayors.
Mm-hmm.
They, some person who got the most votes on the city council. The city council back then had the same power as the mayor. They changed the constitution or the charter so that the mayor now has 4 years.
Yes.
City council has two. Works better. It's a city that can be helped, maybe not saved, but made better by people who care. You come see me. I'm in the West End at 93 North Beacon. You can find me. I'm there all the time.
Thank you. All right, I accept the invitation. Thank you very much.
Also, let me just say, he's part of the board of the new LGBT school that's going to be...
In Ansonia.
Yep. In Ansonia. I thought I was going to say New Haven again, but that's a mistake. So, you know, he's got contacts outside of... He was also the attorney for... What did you say, for New Haven as well?
Well, I was corporation counsel. I've been the only person who's ever had corporation counsel in Hartford and corporation counsel in New Haven. That's Nobody's beautiful. Ever done that.
And Jamal, you need to know, I was deliberately excluded from the LGBT debate that took place. I've been excluded from several debates that have taken place.
Let's talk
so
about that.
So that debate, yeah.
Why have you been excluded from debates?
I don't know. I will have to ask our black brothers why they're debating, because several of them are hosting debates that I'm being discriminated from. And as a result, I've made it public, as public as I possibly can. And one particular debate was canceled as a result of my attending the Trinity College debate and informing the individuals. There must have been maybe 80% Caucasian in the room, you know, and to find that we had a panel of majority African-Americans, one, I was the only sister on the panel, but the only individual on that panel who stood up and called me that the evening prior to and said, Giselle, they're calling three times a day, but I refuse to participate as long as they're discriminating against you. And that was John Funfara. That's unreal. You understand what I'm saying? That makes, you know, us as a community, what we need is unity. We have to find a way to come together, even in defense of the community. Listen, on the north end of Hartford, Eddie was he's from Stowe Village, he was a great mayor and all of that, but the perception in the north end of Hartford is that he did more for the south end than he did for the north end, and we have to do away with that. Hartford is only 120,000 strong. We have to come together, north end, south end, west end.
It is really a little city, and it really ought to be better run.
It really is. It really is.
And you were saying earlier that you said you don't know if it could be saved.
I have hope that it can.
Well,
I won't give up.
You got to believe.
Yes.
You know, one of the big things that I noticed when I got here was that there was no Chase Banks here. And I was like, this is the capital of a state, and you can't find one Chase ATM in the whole city. Wow. And I just saw that, you know, being a Fortune 500 company, you know, that's to me, that's a little bit of a slap in the face, isn't it?
They're down in Stanford and Bridgeport. They're down
there,
right? But they're not, you understand. So
there's not one ATM of the second biggest bank in the world. Mm-hmm. In the whole city of the capital of Connecticut.
No, there's one.
No, I looked. Oh. My son has a Chase account. I had to put money in his account. He's in New York or whatever. And I actually had to drive to another city.
I walk past it every morning.
Really?
Yeah.
I would love to know what that is.
Tall building. You go to Starbucks, make a...
Oh, you mean in the corporate building?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, where the white people are?
Yeah.
See, I don't walk in
there. And once gentrification is completed, it'll be more in Hartford.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was working in New York, and I was kind of still lived up here. And one of my coworkers went to Trinity College. And she didn't know I lived in Hartford. And she was like, yeah, I went to Trinity. I was like, oh, I spent time in Hartford. And she was just like, oh, it's a horrible city. I was like, wow. You know, because that's not the feeling I get when I'm here. I rate the city on the people that live in it, not necessarily how much investment is going in it.
It's not. We're not investing in our young people. Listen, when we have young people in Hartford who are doing the right thing, you know, staying in school, getting their college degrees, and then they return home and unable to find employment, but we see individuals from other communities coming here, working with our students when we have...
But how do they have trouble finding employment? We got Travelers, one of the biggest corporations in the world, right down the block.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you, if you speak with the families in the community who have children, who have graduated college, myself included, my son with a UConn college degree
is
working at freaking Dunkin' Donuts Stadium and CarMax.
What?
His first job with his degrees was in Vermont, which is where his UConn sweetheart went to get her master's. She received her bachelor's at UConn Storrs, but she went to Vermont. They hired her after receiving her master's. He put his application in. They hired him. They gave him a bigger office than she had. You understand? And after they were able to return home, wanting to return home to the community of which he volunteered all through high school. He went to UConn Husky Sport. You know, he worked with Jim Calhoun, Kevin Ali, you know. He returned home. Now he worked in one of our high schools for a while, and he still coaches basketball for the high school students at Weaver. And I'm the babysitter, of course, he has to coach basketball.
Yeah, but
we have to do better for our young people.
We have to admit that over time, things have changed. I mean, CVS now owns Aetna. Okay, whereas mm-hmm. before they were hiring thousands of us, at a time, and Citicorp is largely owning Travelers. Okay,
that tide has come and gone. The whole notion of the big insurance city. I mean, the buildings are amazing. They're still here. You took the Aetna building and built it straight up and go up like 26 floors. It's a huge monster.
Wow.
But it is not what it used to was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've fractioned their company into different places. So now they may do billing in China and do another part here. I want to ask you about some state issues. One thing I noticed about Connecticut really quickly is that the state politicians tend to be kind of good. They get things done. I want to ask you about that. Do you support Ned Lamont? If you don't, and when I say good, I mean they actually get things done. Whether those things are preferable or not is another story. But, you know, gun regulation passed really quickly here after Sandy Hook happened. Things like that. And in New York, those things don't happen that fast. So that's what I was impressed with.
Yeah, sure. I supported Ned Lamont. Now, ask me about my Hartford delegation.
Okay.
Okay.
Go.
All right.
Hold on, guys.
All right.
Let's say right now you're mayor. You walk through the door. What are you going to do? All right, I can tell you what I would like to see as a resident of Hartford. All right, first thing I'd like to do is see some decent, high-speed internet here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, that is the key. Okay, and it doesn't have to be Comcast. It can be the 5G services, you know, and things of this nature. And it shouldn't cost you an arm and a leg to have high-speed internet available to our children who are in the city of Hartford. It is key. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree, and we're supposed to already have it. I can tell you right now, there are some
communities.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
We're supposed
you better
to
believe
already
it.
Have it. So I can tell you right now that a letter has gone out to the FBI inquiring as to what happened to the money and why it's not working. So that's where we're at.
Right so there was now. Money already allocated.
There was already money already allocated.
A
they should
long
have it a
time
long
ago.
Time ago. Absolutely. And that's one of the problems. And so one of the very first things I would do when I walked into City Hall is request a budget analysis of all departments. All departments. I recently watched a committee meeting where John Gale was on that committee with three other attorneys. You know, and he made a statement that he has been requesting budget reports of how the departments are separating the grant monies from, you know, their, you know, regular budget and how it's being spent. And it's been almost 7 years. He hasn't received one. How is it that you're requesting a budget report? You sit on city council. You're at City Hall. You have not been provided what you requested in almost 7 years. And the community doesn't know anything
testing,
about it.
Duh.
It seems like there's a lack of information.
I've not been involved.
A lack of transparency.
Right.
A lack of transparency. Show me the money. That's what the first thing we need to do.
I've been involved politically in this town for a long time. I'm back here. Use me up. I know a lot of people. I know the law. I know a lot of white people. I know everybody I know votes.
Yeah.
And you can use me to turn the tide because, to be perfectly frank with you, until today, I've been singularly unimpressed with the people who are running for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
You can fix that.
And this is a turnout election, right? So this is about getting the people that do support you out, right?
Yes.
I'm out back home where I'm from. A lot of times the black people are out in the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think most of your support comes from? Is it the area you live in, or do you have a base? Do you have, where do you think most of your support comes from? Young people?
Of
of course, a lot of my support comes from the individuals who are in my network. And right. what I mean by that is, you know, we host a support group that started in my living room while unemployed, cooked soul food dinner with my food stamps, and we've been going ever since. Of course, so those individuals know exactly who I am. And when we, you know, after we got going, we not only did we have a support group on Westbourne Parkway and 2550 Main Street, we moved it to the south end, to Madison Street. So we had a Latino, because we realized the importance of, you know, if we're going to support the families on the north, and we need to support the families on the south end as well. I have Latino granddaughters. We just celebrated her 15-year Kinsey Sierra. You know what I mean?
All right. Park Street. All right.
So
all
we
right.
have to realize that we're more connected than we realize. So, it's the young people. I have a 19-year-old son who was shot when he was 16. My 4-year-old
really?
Has been shot. By the grace of God, they're still here. You understand what I'm
God
saying?
God bless them.
I have to get the message out that your vote matters. If you have an 18-year-old at home, make sure they're registered to vote. And not only that they're registered, that they come out to vote. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Okay.
Vote matters.
All right, Gigi. Mm-hmm. All right, another issue that as a voter in the city of Hartford, I mean, you touched on it. Let's go with gun control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our children are having access to guns quicker than they can get a bite to eat.
Correct.
I mean, what do we do about that? Where are they coming from? Are we fighting this? Obviously not effectively if we're dropping two kids a day. You know, two kids a night, I better say, on the street. I mean, and the Hartford police, God bless them, seem to be doing nothing but toe-tagging. All right? I mean, how do we stop? I mean, the death of our kids.
We have to have individuals in position who want to stop it. Who want to stop it. I just had an officer who was administratively relieved to suggest that I go online and look up the meaning of the spider web tattoo, of which I was informed our chief of police has one on his elbow.
Are you serious?
When you look it up, it says white supremacy. I didn't know that before a week ago, before that officer suggested that I look that up. So if we have individuals who are not only the head of our police department, but what about the individuals who are up under him, who realizes what's going on? They know what the solution is. They know that not enough is being done that can be done. California has 600,000. Oakland? How are they able to reduce their violence by 50% with 600,000 versus our 100,000? You have to want to. You have to have individuals who are in office who want to see these killings stop. Get the guns off the street. I attended a training at the Central Intelligence Unit they have over in the Meadows where the police department used to be at. They have more technology over there than you can imagine.
Really?
Oh, my God. They have more technology over there than you can imagine. There are programs in place that would help these young people. There's research out there that states that if a young person has been shot, they are more inclined to pick up a gun and shoot someone else. You understand? So my son just turned 18, 19 years old as a result of his best friend being shot, you know, and all of that. And we don't want to talk about those things, but we need to. We can't be ashamed. Listen, man, we have more families in Hartford who have been impacted by this gun violence, and we cannot hide out. We can't hide out. We have to come out. We have to come out and speak against it and attend these city council meetings. I was homeless and I grabbed the women up when I was in a homeless job. I said, come on, we're going to a city council meeting. We're going to help Ms. Inez run for Board of Ed. We can do something no matter where we are in our lives. God can use us. And I'm not a holy roller. I'm really not. I'm spiritual. Right. I do believe that.
Well,
I understand where you're coming from. And I'm really happy that you're saying some of the things
Let me touch the third
I'll
rail.
I'll let you go.
Let me touch the third rail. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The third rail, as I see it, is the amount of money in the budget that's supposed to be going to our children's benefit.
Yes.
That seems to be going to, how would I say? I mean, if you own a church, here we go, in Hartford, you seem to be getting, they seem to be getting a lot of money, and it just seems to be eaten up administratively, with very, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, and all of a sudden they're getting paid, but the kids, I mean, what's going on? So, well, I tell you what we'll do. Let's march down there, and we'll have another march. You know, so you're getting all these thousands of dollars, and we're going to have another march? Damn, I mean, the march ain't doing it.
The mayor...
Profit industrialized complex.
The mayor is on the Board of Ed. The mayor names the majority of the people on the Board of Ed. So you got that kind of control. I watched a police department when I came into Hartford's City Hall in 2004. It was a mess. Eddie brought a cop from New York to be the chief. Turned the place around, became a good department.
Correct.
Time to fix that. The mayor has a lot more power, in my opinion, directed toward what ought happen and what can happen. Just got to be believing it. I got a letter the other day. Let me tell you the craziness. When I left the city hall, 6 years I was there. 5 years, the rule was back then, you get a pension and medical for life. So I'm living off Social Security, and what I earned, I guess I earned, is my pension. Anyway, I got a letter unsolicited from the city treasurer the other day.
Is that why you don't pick up a check?
That's right. to the effect that this is the state of the city's finances. It's all fine. Unsolicited. I said, well, why am I getting this letter? If everything's fine, why didn't you just? Why isn't this just everything's fine? You have to tell. I got to find out why I got that letter, because I don't think that everything's fine.
Right.
And I'm a lawyer.
Yes.
Use me up.
I'll be there because I ain't afraid of nobody. Well, that's good to know, because there is a lot of fear in Hartford as it relates to our political arena.
All the young people,
the Bellas, are running.
You know, my daughter is
Hartford, and we have to do something.
My daughter is Anika Noni Rose of Dream Girls.
Okay,
I can bring her here. You want to talk to young kids?
Cool, awesome. Oh, well, Attorney Rose, I'll be there. I'll be knocking on your door.
I can tell you why I like you already. It's because one of the things I hated about going to law school and being with lawyers and being a lawyer is that usually lawyers haven't done anything wrong. They're always the guys that did top of the class. They always went to class. They never got arrested. And they deal with people that aren't
arrested. That ain't me.
If anyone knows my story, I'm a high school dropout who never got a GED and stuff like that. So I talked my way into college. But most lawyers aren't like me. And I've been arrested several times and stuff like that. So one thing I do like about you is that you mentioned food stamps. You mentioned being homeless, or almost homeless at one point. And that's important for people to hear when they're in that situation, so that they know that they can overcome those situations, those challenges. That's why
I speak about it.
When our sister Tina Turner died, you know, everyone talks about her music, but the big story with her was how she overcame a tremendous challenge to try to make something of herself. And that's what you did. And you're also showing people your life that you can, that they can do it too.
And
you know,
I
what I'm saying?
Preach, thank Attorney Rose for mentioning the mayor has so much convening power. You understand? You know, you have individuals who are concerned that whomever becomes our next mayor, that they have a certain level of, you know, like only a lawyer can run our city successfully. Listen, I got my lead inspector's license. The lawyer, the practicing attorney that was in class with me, she took the test a few times.
Right.
Still hasn't gotten her license. So we have to get away from that. You know, I was asked, yes, I had to support a family at the courthouse. They reached out and asked me to support the family of the 2 years
old. Yeah, I saw that.
I went, and a gentleman was there, and he asked me, he said, Giselle, are you ready for this? Are you ready to become our next mayor? I don't have to be ready. We have to be ready.
Right.
You understand what I mean? Because it's going to be us at the table. Not the way that it's been happening, where folks feel the need to go outside of Hartford. We have enough talent talent right here in Hartford where we can fill up City Hall and the department heads right here from Hartford.
Absolutely.
All right. The other thing that's on my mind is capital. I didn't say finances, I said capital.
Yes.
All right. Hartford needs to bring in, our mayor needs to have access to the powers to be to bring capital into the city or make it attractive for them to want, to make it comfortable for money to come to the city and build up the city, all right? That's my thought, at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's what I see going on right now.
I worked for 5 years with Tony Harp.
All right.
In New Haven.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yes, I had an office in New Haven. Her brother
that black women
is the
can
director.
Do. Yes. She became the president of the Black Mayors Association in that country.
Yes.
Then people decided she was too big, getting too big for her britches.
Mm.
New Haven was doing too well. So they undid her.
Mm.
That's what happened to Tony Harp.
Wow.
We can fix that.
Yes, we can.
We can fix
now,
that.
Yes, we can.
I want to talk about two more things really quickly. I want to get back to this being taking on a debate thing, but first, before we forget, how do people reach your campaign if they want to donate a volunteer? Let's get that out now, yeah. So we don't forget.
We have a campaign office located at 2776 Main Street. It used to be an automobile workshop.
Okay.
We went in with the crew. We, you know, put floors in, painted the walls white from black to white, and you know, new ceilings, and that's where our campaign office, right next door to Sisters Restaurant.
We're right next door
to Sisters, 2776 Main Street, and my cell phone.
I think you have a sticker.
I took them all there. I've been going to Sisters for 100 years.
Yes.
Did she come over and put her arms around you?
And the number? And just say the number and the email?
Yeah, look, my cell phone number has been online from the very moment I began volunteering in our community, and I have not changed that.
Okay.
So my personal cell phone is 860-726-6504.
Wow.
Is where you can, and that's been out there.
Wow.
You know, listen, we used to have an emergency respite at my office when I had it on Farmington Avenue for individuals who were having domestic violence situations in the middle of the night. And as a result, I was able to open up that office because I had the front office had a sofa bed, big screen TV, refrigerator. The back office is where I ran Sister Soldier. The front office, we ran our community, you know, children of color organization. You don't know how many individuals we kept from, you know, returning back to prison because, you know, just having a moment to separate yourself from that tension of, you know, wanting to, you know, hit your significant other.
Right.
Can mean a world of difference. You know what I mean? By the following day, they're able to return home and work things out, you know? And we just had a domestic violence homicide across the street from my son's property. He's a homeowner now in Oakland Terrace. You know,
congratulations.
What I mean? Just knowing that there's an avenue in within the community of which you can reach out to for help and not have to cause that type of harm, it means a world of difference. And we can have that. It didn't have to be just Sister Soldier and children of color. We can have that, you know. Look at Atlanta. Their businesses in Atlanta created Archie. What is that called? Archie. Where the business owners came together and created Archie. Look it up. It's, you know, we're, you know, they're
I think the key
coming
to
up with their own solutions. We have to save ourselves. We're looking for someone to come in and save us. It's not going to happen.
All right. With that in mind, how are we going to handle some of Harvard's, I dare say, the minor quality of life issues,
mm-hmm.
such as the homeless
and the
begging on the street? And, I mean, I've sat in restaurants only to have a homeless come into the restaurant and actually grab food on my plate.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
Really?
Damn straight.
Wow.
All right. And they tried to keep him out and things like this. I mean, and as a black male, that affects me because every time I walk into a business, I'm looked at as someone who's homeless. I don't care. I could be wearing my good suit. Okay. And I got to justify my existence for walking down the damn stairs, you know, to come in there. You know, and I resent that.
Mm-hmm.
And I attribute that to the large amount of homeless messing around here.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
It's a problem all over the world. Maybe not all over the world. I shouldn't say that. It's a problem all over the United States. It's bad here, but it ain't nothing compared to the
best
cities.
Yeah, see, I'm from New York City. So I could teach a class on homelessness. But I do see that. It's funny because where I live, it reminds me of New York City kind of in the 80s, where, you know, crack was a big epidemic in New York City. Now it's like they've moved on to bigger things, like opioids and stuff. But there is intergenerational poverty here. And that's...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
Jamal, there was a pastor, I think his name is Pastor Woods. He purchased a building on Windsor Street.
Speaking to the mic.
He purchased a building on Windsor Street. I believe his name is Pastor Woods. He purchased a building. He filled that building up with beds. He desired to put homeless individuals in that building, and he was shut down. Right there on Windsor Street, right next door to where they recently opened up the reentry center. You know, and I have to ask myself, like, why? We need to begin to ask some of those tough questions as to if we have a homelessness issue here in Hartford. You know, when solutions come about, we close the doors as opposed to opening the doors. And we've come to find that if you're not a part of a certain network in Hartford, if you're not a part of a certain group of individuals, you're not going to get the help, even if you desire to help those who are in most need. I've never gotten a grant. City, state, or feds, not one.
Wow.
And I was the first one in Hartford passionate about helping individuals returning home from incarceration. We would pull up at the Meadows and catch them leaving out in the middle of dead of winter with no coat. Having to walk from the Meadows to the South End with no coat, you're gonna stop off somewhere and you know.
Take care. But, you know, yes. How can we raise awareness about this debate, discrimination in the debate situation? Is the Hartford Courant, did they know about this?
They all know about it. Listen, after I stood up at the last debate on Park Street, at the new Park Street Library, I stood up. We were talking about the nonprofit industrialized complex, right? And I was sharing with the community. I've had my nonprofit since 2008, volunteering, you know, on 501c3 since 2012. Never received a grant, right? But you can have the Hartford Land Bank that's only been in existence for a couple of years. And I looked it up while I was sitting there at the table, Jamal, because this dude is like preaching about the nonprofit industrialized complex. You, the biggest culprit.
Right.
You're the biggest culprit. How is it that in a couple of years you're already at $4,490,000 in a couple of years? Are you kidding me? I confronted him about a proposal he recently put into the city of Hartford. It was on his website. He had put in a proposal for 13 Hartford properties. And I confronted him about 13 properties. He took it off the website.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. If you had nothing to hide, if everything is on the up and up. So recently, some individuals have submitted a FOI, which is a Freedom of Information,
right,
to find out how are the people of Hartford benefiting from the capital that you're building within your nonprofit, when we need capital here and the people of Hartford being able to benefit from I tell them when I'm out there, you know what I tell them? I keep it real plain. I do how Joe Madison said, you got to put it where the goats can get it. And I let them know. I said, check this out. You got to put it where the goats
can get it.
You got to put it where the goats can get it. And I let them know, listen, the police work for us. The fire department works for us. The mayor works for us. City council work for us. Huh? We got city council members that is costing the city of Hartford thousands of dollars, and you still sitting up there like you. No, we need to be more intentional about who we vote for, and do not vote for someone just because they're black and they're a woman.
Amen.
You know, listen, we got black women running around our community for the white folks, telling them who to vote for. Trust me, the MDC, they're doing everything they can for the sewage problem. I promise you, it's not their fault.
The sewage problem. Now, you know where that came from. It basically came from MDC saving West Hartford, because the city of West Hartford had a problem with their sewage, and so the MDC decided to take it over. And it just makes me very angry that you get these West Hartfordites who think that, and all the drainage, all right, from the city of West Hartford comes down Tower Avenue and hits Tower in Maine. And that's where we're having our problem.
Why Star Hardware just
handle the waste coming from West Hartford. That's what that's about. Mm-hmm. All right, but yeah, West Hartford wants to talk like, oh, you know, no.
For people who don't know, when is
Thank you for that. That's the first time I've heard it put that way. And I've been at the helm of, and as long as I was speaking, you know, or as long as I was in a position to help those individuals who are having those conversations, I was sought out. At the time, I was the only one who lived in that North End area, you know, that was being flooded and affected by the sewage. You know, now that I'm running for mayor, I don't get invited to those meetings anymore. Right? I'm no longer asked, Giselle, can we use your house to be interviewed by channel such and such, you know, like, and that's okay as long as I don't have to be on the front street, but at least let the community know what's going on. I'm knocking on doors in the Blue Hills area. It's folks and it's young parents. They don't know they can go to City Hall and get a $7,500 check to help with some of the flooding that's taking place in their basement. They don't know that the contamination that takes place, even though your basement may dry out as an environmental I graduated from, it's still there. Your children are breathing that in. We're talking coronavirus, hepatitis, all kinds of You understand what I'm saying? They're breathing all of that in. You know, and listen, the effects may not happen until years down the line.
Amen.
You know, just like with the lead. I had to go through that training to find out. If a child has acquired lead poisoning, now you have, you know, a little David that, you know, have experienced lead poisoning at 3 or 4 years old, and he's 14, 15, and he's bouncing off the wall, and he's, you know, getting in trouble, ended up in juvenile detention. No one is looking at the fact that from 1 to 3, they were living in a household that had lead poisoning.
The consequences of heavy metal poisoning are being reflected, I've said it 1,000 times, in our educational
system. Yes!
And not only that, there's been a study that said a lot of the crime that happened in the 80s happened as a result of the lead poisoning that happened in New York City.
The correlation, yes!
Now, here's some important dates, because this is really all about voting. Your election date
is November the 7th.
November the 7th is when you need people to go to the polls.
I need people to come out on November the 7th, and I need you to look at the entire ballot, because there's a Giselle Gigi Feliciano running for Registrar of Voters, right?
Right.
She'll be at the
you.
Top. That ain't me. I'm Giselle Gigi Jacobs.
Yes, right. Yes.
All right?
Who are you?
Giselle Gigi Jacobs, and I'll probably be at the very bottom. So look at the whole ballot to vote.
After hearing what you stand for, I just want to make it open for you to come back anytime you want to. All you got to do is call me on any issue that may come up. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfair that they're keeping you out of debates. This is going to be your space to speak up.
That ain't never happening again.
Especially if something comes up. So I'll be emailing you if something comes up about Hartford that I want you to speak on. We do have a caller in. I do want to bring him in right quick. I'm glad you stayed on. So up until this this date of November 7th, you're going to be hitting the streets more. Do you have any media? Has any media reached out to you? Are you getting any kind of?
I had media, which is what I was alluding to when I was speaking about my statement at the public library on Park Street. I had interviews up until that point that were canceled after, you know, the Hartford Current, you know, featured me on the front page, standing up, you know, addressing the community, and it showed a Ronin like looking at me with this look that could kill.
I saw that,
right? And it circulated. Okay. And as a result, so I was not surprised when I received the phone calls from the interviews that were set up that were canceled.
Well, we got 1 minute left, so yes. I want to give you the last word on what you want the people of Hartford to know, anything you want, the number or anything you want, and then we'll have to close out, but we'll invite you back again.
Yes. I would like for the people of Hartford to know that we matter. Our vote matters. Section 2 of the State of Connecticut Constitution tells us that all political power is inherent in the people, and all free government is founded on their authority and instituted for their benefit, and that they shall have at all times an undeniable, indefeasible right to alter their form of government in such manner as they think expedient. What does that tell us, community? That we have the power.
Amen.
We have to exert our power. Folks bled and died for us to have the right to vote. Come out and vote, please. November the 7th, come out and vote. And vote your conscience. Vote your conscience and vote Giselle Gigi Jacobs. Thank you.
Amen. We are going to let this show go. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and Gigi will be back with us sometime in the future before Election Day to talk about more issues that come up in Hartford. We really appreciate you coming by. But most of all, we thank the listeners. Without listeners, we wouldn't have anyone to talk to, and that'd be a sad, sad episode indeed. So thank you. Please take care of yourself and try to take care of someone else. Have a nice day.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal.
Jamal. Jamal. This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal. This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal. Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.